Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live and on the air right now to address your question or discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. This is your invitation to listen and call. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. There was a song that came out a number of years ago, had a great catchy line, "Don't worry, be happy."
Yeah.
Well, that's a great sentiment, but how do we go from worry to happiness? How does that happen? And I think a lot of people would like to know the answer to that. Richard, when we talk to people, you know, one-on-one, lots of folks call and they have problems and they're wanting to get some help, some biblical direction. But the reason they're calling is because they're worried about the situation. They're anxious about it. Their feelings are engaged in the process. If their feelings weren't engaged, they probably wouldn't call. But when they get to that point and they're disturbed on the inside, they're you know, that situation has just disrupted their thinking and their emotional state. That's when they pick up the phone, or that's when they send a letter, or that's when they send an email, and they cry, "Help! You know, how do I get free from this anxiety? How can I go from worry to happiness, or worry to peace?" What are some of the things that you tell folks in that situation?
Well, first of all, I let them talk for a while, especially if they call, because chances are it's been building up and building up, and they just got to say something. But once they kind of wind down a little bit, then I ask them, is any of that true now? Is all of this stuff you're worried about, is that true now? And usually they'll say, well, no, you know, but I have had a serious surgery. And okay, well, let's deal with the reality. What is happening right now, and is the grace of Jesus Christ sufficient to this moment right now? And when you can intercept that thinking, that emotion-driven thinking, and bring it back to what Jesus has done for us, how he will never let us go, how his love is everything to us, then they can bring their focus back down to the present and learn to say thank you, not for the bad stuff they're going through, but in spite of the bad stuff, that Jesus still loves them. Jesus will never let them go. And that really does break the cycle, and it is a cycle. It's a habitual way of thinking, and when you start saying thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me, it breaks that cycle, and you can begin thinking clearly about what is real today. And it may not be good stuff that's real today, but at least you can think realistically about it. And with the mind of Christ informing you, and your own mind being transformed from this emotional pit to logical, rational, thankful thought, then you begin to come out of that sadness and anger and anxiety and worry and all the rest of it. Funny thing is, they usually don't end up happy, because that's a circumstantial thing. They end up with the peace of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Which is a spiritual gift, and very different.
And that's far better. It
yes.
transcends happiness.
Yes.
I think that's what people are really looking for, is that peace and that joy.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that are the fruit of the Spirit. And so all the things that you've talked about is really described by living by the Spirit, or
yes.
walking in the Spirit, or trusting the Lord, or walking by faith. Those things are a byproduct of that, and those acts of faith are casting your cares upon Jesus.
Yeah.
I think oftentimes we have to realize that sometimes the problems of life are just too big for us.
They are.
We don't have what it takes to figure out a solution, because we don't know all of the working parts in it. We're just focused on one little aspect of it. But God knows all the details, and he is able to work all those parts together for our good. So I think this act of casting our cares upon Jesus is a wonderful step of faith
yeah.
that is going to lead to that joy and peace and contentment. It's going to lead to a calming and soothing of the mind. Like I said, anxiety, it's like an agitator in a washing machine.
Yes.
It just stirs up everything. And at some point, that agitation needs to stop. And that's what Christ can do. He's the one that can soothe their mind. He's the one that can calm it. He's the one that can still those troubled waters that are deep within. And so that act of faith of casting your cares upon the Lord is significant. It's also the same as giving thanks. I mean, that's an act of faith. That's not just a mantra that we're supposed to say, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's a genuine thankfulness, not, for the circumstance immediately. I think we can give thanks for the circumstance, but it's a giving of thanks for all you know to be true right then and there. So many people are anxious about tomorrow. Usually that's what anxiety is all about. What's going to happen tomorrow? We're wondering, will we be able to pay our bills? Will we be able to, stay in this house? Will we have a job? Will we be able to make the car payment? All of those things. And, you have to ask yourself, and the giving of thanks enables you to do this. Have you been able to pay all those bills up to now? Well, yes, I have. Do you have a place today? Yes, I do. Do you have food on your table? Yes, I do. Then has God met your needs according to his riches and glory? Yes, he has. And that calms that mind. And then seeking the mind of Christ, my goodness, we need wisdom.
Yeah.
We are so clueless so much of the time. That we need the wisdom of God. We need his thoughts. We need his ways to become ours in a given situation. Paul was talking about that to the Corinthians. They were divided. They had all kinds of fights and quarrels. There were, the haves and the have-nots. There was jealousies, envies. There was pride and ego and selfish ambition and just what the world is all about going on at the Church of Corinth. And Paul brought this truth into the mix. He said, wait a minute, you've been given the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God reveals to you the grace of God, the things that God has freely given you. The Spirit of God enables you to know the thoughts of God. And then he draws that great conclusion, you have the mind of Christ. As a body of believers, as an individual believer, you have the mind of Christ. Seek it. Seek it out in every given situation, and you will start to see solutions taking shape as far as those situations are concerned. If it's a money problem, you'll start figuring out kind of the source of frustration. Why are you so frustrated? Well, because I don't have any money in savings, and almost every week I'm hammered with another emergency, and I don't know how to handle it. So I pull out the credit card and charge it, and I get more in debt, and those bills come, and boy, the anxiety just intensifies. And so, wait a minute. What if I started saving some money for emergencies? The number one thing financial advisors tell people, first step, build an emergency fund. First step. That builds some margin in your life, some safety. It's like, wow, that's a wise thing. If you've gotten in trouble with credit cards, why not tear them up? Why not cut every one of them up? Then you can't use them. You can't get in trouble. Now you have to appeal to the folks and work out some other way to make payment. And there's going to be some wisdom to that. So when you cast your cares upon Jesus, when you learn to give thanks, when you seek the mind of Christ, solutions start to come to you that you never thought of before. Yeah. It's an incredible, incredible thing. So what's the cure for worry? Is there a cure for worry? Absolutely. In three simple steps, cast your cares upon Jesus, learn to give thanks in all things, seek the mind of Christ. All aspects of this walk of faith that God has called us to in Jesus Christ.
The cure for worry. If you'd like to discuss this, or if there's some other burning issue in your life right now, perhaps a Bible question, give us a call. The lines are open and plenty of time on the clock. That number, 1-800-677-9377. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377.
If anybody's interested, we've posted an article on our website today titled The Cure for Worry. Just go to basicgospel.net and go to the bottom left-hand side of the page, and you will see that article. Just click, and you'll be able to read it in full. Yes, something that that's helpful to you, we encourage you to pass it on, to share it with your friends. We've made it very easy for you to do so, to share it online. So a wonderful resource right there for you, The Cure for Worry. Also, remind our listeners of our matching gift challenge. Several of our board members decided to get together and issue a matching gift challenge.
$25,000.
$25,000. Yeah. So every gift that you give between now and March 31st will basically be doubled. So if you make a contribution today to Basic Gospel of $100, that's like giving $200. Well, what does that mean? You're reaching more people with the love of Jesus Christ. You're helping to connect more people to the love of Jesus Christ. So take advantage of this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to double your impact, double your ministry through Basic Gospel.
There's a link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net, the matching gift challenge at basicgospel.net.
Let's go to Mike in El Paso, Texas, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Mike.
How's it going, Rich and Bob?
Doing fine.
How can we help you today?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we sure can. What's on your mind today?
How you guys doing? I've been listening to what you guys have been talking about today and really pretty much over the month. And, you know, I really agree. I really agree with a lot that you guys have to say. And I really love the way that you guys present it. And, you know, I'm happy that, you know, a station and people like you guys exist to really help spread the gospel of the Lord.
Well, thank you, Mike. We sure appreciate it.
Now, today, I'm calling into you guys because my wife and I, we celebrated our fifth anniversary yesterday, to be exact. But at the same time, you know, we have people pretty close to us that are, you know, going through divorces. And then we have other people that are pretty close to us that do exactly what you guys just talked about, worry and have anxiety. They really don't have faith in much in life. They prefer to, I guess you could say, be victims almost. You know, anything that's negative, they fester in it rather than looking at the positives of things and just, you know, giving thanks to the Lord for everything that He's given us and continues to give us. So, well, my question is, I've been looking through the Bible, you know, all throughout the Bible with regards to, you know, divorce. And I know it's not really something that's promoted in the Bible, but, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, in this modern day where a lot of, you know, spouses are divorcing these days, I mean, it's almost becoming common practice. I'd like to know, you know, like, does that peace that you say that Jesus gives us, does it give us peace at making that decision that, you know, it's okay to divorce if, you know, this circumstance happens or, you know, if it just doesn't feel right anymore or for any reason? How do you guys feel about that? And then, you know, in terms of people not really having faith, what can they do to get more faith?
Well, Mike, to get more faith, you have to get more of Jesus, basically. And what I mean by that is grow in your understanding of who He is and grow in your understanding of His great love for you. Faith is not a independent word. It is dependent upon Jesus. It is connected to Jesus. So it's not our great faith that matters or our little faith that matters. It's our belief in Jesus. It's faith in Jesus that's important. So if we want our faith to grow, we have to see more and more of Jesus Christ in our lives on a day-to-day basis. It's just as simple as that. A lot of folks out there want to make faith the power, make faith something separate, an entity, but it has no value apart from Christ at all. It needs an object, and the object of our faith is Jesus and His Word. So I just tell people to look to Jesus, see what the Word of God has to say about Jesus, because that's what the Bible is about. It's God's testimony concerning His Son. Ask God's Spirit to reveal to you the person and work of Jesus, and then you won't have to worry about faith. It'll just
be
a response.
That definitely sounds great, and I'll pass that along. Now, with regards to the divorce issue, I know it's really, really touchy, and it's almost become like common practice today. But, I mean, me personally, you know, I do see some instances in the Bible where it is acceptable, but I also see some modern day, you know, instances that weren't necessarily addressed in the Bible. But, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys have to say about that?
Well, divorce has never been, you know, accepted as far as God is concerned. God said when two are joined together, that's a forever thing until death do you part. I mean, that's a real biblical truth. And there's a reason for it, is because that marriage, that union of husband and wife, is a reflection of the union that we have with Christ, that Christ has with his church. Paul talked about that in Ephesians chapter 5. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we have hard hearts sometimes. We, you know, want to do our own thing, and divorce is going to happen. That doesn't make it right. God doesn't condone that. Somebody that divorces and says that God led them to that state, I don't necessarily think that's true, unless there's some extenuating circumstances there. I mean, if somebody's in a marriage and, you know, the husband's beating the wife, and that's just not going to change, you know, the wife needs some safety, and she needs to get out of that. And if the husband is never going to change, then I think at that point you just have to end it. Just for the safety and well-being of the wife in that particular situation. So,
and I guess in instances where both parties are extremely unhappy, and I guess you could say not really willing to put work. I mean, almost as if they've given up on the marriage.
Yeah,
you know?
A bad marriage is just symptomatic of a lot of discontent that we have in life. So the issue isn't the marriage for most people. It's their own personal problems. They haven't found what they're looking for. So a lot of people get married to find happiness. You know, if I find the right person, then I'm going to be a happy person, and life is just going to be wonderful for me. And then they find that person, and, you know, they have stars in their eyes, and, you know, fireworks explode, and they think, wow, you know, happiness is just around the corner. And they get down on their knee, and they put the ring on the finger, and, you know, the woman at that time, she starts thinking about the wedding, and the wedding occurs, and, you know, they march down the aisle, and they say they're going to live happily ever after. They go on the honeymoon, and that's just great. And then they come back home, and reality hits them. And, you know, this slob leaves his underwear on the bedroom floor, and, you know, she doesn't do the dishes right, not like my mom used to do it. And, you know, and problems start to arise, and you think, wow, did I miss it? Did I marry the wrong one? And boy, I was supposed to be happy. She was supposed to make me happy, or he was supposed to make me happy. And so you've entered in with unrealistic expectations. And because those expectations aren't met, you're going to get fearful that you may never be happy. You're going to get angry. You're going to lash out at one another. And you're just going to come to a point and say, you know, we just need to walk away because this wasn't the right thing. Well, it wasn't the marriage. The marriage just surfaced individual problems, the fact that you're not content in Christ. And if we look at it that way and let God do his work in our lives individually, then we can see him put the marriages back together. We've seen it happen time and time and time again. The most important person in any marriage, a Christian marriage, is Jesus Christ himself. He's the one that has given himself to each person in that marriage relationship. He has placed his spirit into each other's hearts. And if each person individually will abide in Christ, walk in the Spirit, then they will actually have something to give to one another as husband and wife. And that's when a marriage can truly flourish and grow and fulfill God's design for that marriage.
Wow. Wow. That's very interesting. And I really thank you for sharing that with all of us. And look forward to continuing to listen to you guys, because I get a lot of understanding out of listening to you guys. I don't want to take up too much time, because I know there may be other people out there.
Well, Mike, let me suggest a couple of things for you. Are you familiar with our website, basicgospel.net?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I would encourage you to go there and to sign up and join our email list. And we will send the program to you every single day. And you can listen on your phone.
Yeah, I actually do get the program from you guys. In addition, I'm a big-time follower of you guys on social media via your Facebook page and your Twitter accounts as well.
Well, excellent. Well, spread the word. Tell your buddies. Sweet. Tell your friends. Tell your family members to like us on Facebook, to follow us on Twitter, to sign up for the email list. If we want to get this gospel out, all of us have to take advantage of the tools that we have and use them to get that message out to our sphere of influence, and social media is a perfect way. So spread the word.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Mike. Will do. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Calgary and talk with Travis, listening to us on CHRB. Hi, Travis.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. How are you doing, my friend?
I am good. So my question is, why would God make people with a sinful nature and then tell them that sin is bad, and then tell them to try and be perfect, but make us so that we can't be perfect?
Well,
if I build a ladder and it breaks, isn't that my fault?
Well, Travis, he didn't create us with a sinful nature. When Adam and Eve were created, they were perfect. And then sin came on the scene, and sin led them astray. Now, you know, the question of where did original sin come from? How did Satan, latch on to that? What caused him to try to usurp God's authority and to move God out of his place and for Satan to take over? That's a question that's beyond us as far as an answer is concerned. We'll find out one day, but we just know that happened. And so Satan came and he enticed Adam and Eve, and they took the bait, so to speak. They ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That impacted them. That affected them. That changed them internally. And because it left them in a state of spiritual death, in a sinful state, when they had children, they passed on that state to their children. And that's what's been passed on to everyone else. And that's why this gospel message is so vitally important, because God sent Jesus to restore us, to take us from death, what sin left humanity in, to life, this new life that we can have in Jesus Christ. So God didn't create men in a fallen state. That happened. That happened later. But he also has a plan to take us out of that fallen state, to give us new life in Jesus Christ, and to give us a eternal destiny that will be with him and will be with him forever. Travis, have you come to know Christ personally?
Yes.
Okay, well then you've been rescued. You've gone from death to life. That's good news, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Yeah. Well, hang on, Travis. We're about out of time. Let me put you on hold.
Just a reminder quickly that we have a wonderful matching gift challenge from our board of directors between now and March 31st. It's a perfect time to offer your most generous gift and really make it count. Make your gift by calling 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828, or link online at basicgospel.net. Don't forget, every gift is doubled up to $25,000, and that's a wonderful opportunity to really expand your ministry through Basic Gospel. Please be sure to check us out on the web at basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 to make your matching gift. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Friday live edition of Basic Gospel.